head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
You have successfully downloaded the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding. I've been doing this show now for going on 4 years, 188 consecutive weeks of doing this show and introducing you to some really interesting folks. I have not failed you again this week. I'm really excited about this show. I have in the second part of the show, you're going to hear from an entrepreneur named Lisa Call Hillrick. And she came by the studio, and she is starting a blue jeans company called Roxy Nell. And you're going to hear all about that in the in the second interview in the show. First up, we're going to hear from Patrick Whalen, who I was introduced to by my good friend Kelly McKnight. He runs a very interesting nonprofit organization that is spreading nationally. They set up places for people in recovery at rock concerts, you know, because you associate rock and roll and music festivals with alcohol and drugs sometimes, right? Well, what if you like the music and stuff, but you can't handle the alcohol and drugs? Well, this is a whole organization. There's a vast story here. It's great. It's been written about in the Huffington Post, the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, all started right here in Louisville by Patrick Whalen. So that's something to look forward to. First up, I'm going to thank my sponsors. I've got some great sponsors here on the show. First, of course, Passport Health Plans has been a part of the Rusty Satellite Show for a long time, and I really appreciate their support, along with the Eye Care Institute. So if you are curious about LASIK, Eye Care Institute offers the latest technology, and they're the first in Kentucky to offer contour topography guided LASIK. So if you want to call them, 502-589-1500 and ask to speak to a friendly LASIK counselor. I had that. I've done the testing and I'm eligible for LASIK. I'm really thinking about doing that. So anyway, thanks to our friends at Eye Care Institute for being a part of the show. Got a whole lot of things going on in the world and in Louisville these days. A lot of news to get to, and I will share that with you in the second part of the show. But first up, we want to get to Patrick Whalen, and Patrick came by the studio the other day. He has a fascinating story about being in recovery. He is admittedly an addict at some point in his life, but he started this organization to give people who are in recovery a place to go at music festivals. And it started at Bonnaroo. It's a staple now at Forecastle, and it is just a big and growing organization, and we've got Patrick to thank for that. He's a very interesting guy. I think you'll like it. Listen up to the interview, and I'll be back shortly with more of the Rusty Satellite Show.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill. And I feel pretty good about it, too.
Together, we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
And here we are in the Louisville.am studios. I'm with Patrick Whalen. And Patrick, welcome in.
Thank you, Rick.
Glad to have you come by. You've got a great and interesting story to tell. It reminds me of when I heard about it. It's like I go to a lot of concerts and music things and all that, and you know, it's like if you go to a concert, you're going to enjoy some alcohol or drugs or something like that to go with it. But tell me about how your organization is helping people.
So I'm an old deadhead, and I totally get the sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
There you go. That's motif. It. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's
mostly drugs and rock and roll for me. But was in college, it was the dark secret that nobody told their parents they were doing in the middle of the semester.
Right.
I'm going to Virginia and Philadelphia and New York for 3 days to go see a bunch of music and come back and finish my final exams. But when Jerry Garcia passed away, and I was in a pretty dark place with my life with drugs and alcohol, and So in 97, I put them down, and and I haven't used in over 19 years. And
congratulations.
There's a lot of other music out there I wanted to go and see.
Yeah.
And
so you don't really have to give up the music if you give up the sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
That's kind of our tagline. Yeah. If it's okay. not, we'll steal that. I like it. But that was the, that was where we were. I was a fan of live music, and I love to go out and see live music. But I also like, you know, the other things that we discussed, drinking and,
yeah.
and other substances that came into my periphery. So, you know, I couldn't do that anymore, and I wanted to go out and do that stuff. So, you know, I would go. I made my way into the Bluegrass Brewing Company and places that had live music around town, and then slowly grew into going to larger touring acts that would come through, and then traveling again to Cincinnati.
But it's as a fan, I guess, and you're going to talk about the rest of it later, but as a fan, I'm sure it's a tough adjustment to go from being inebriated or whatever for those shows to going and drinking water or Coke or whatever.
No, it's uncomfortable for a little bit when yeah. I always thought I was the center of the, they bought the tickets to see me. And when I'm drinking, I'm certainly not, you know, paying attention to the band on stage. When I'm drinking, I'm in the beer line almost yeah. all night long. And then if I'm not in the beer line, I'm in the bathroom line.
There you go.
Before I get back in the beer line. So there was many nights at concerts where I didn't even go in and use the ticket. I stayed in the parking lot and was looking for things that I mm-hmm. wanted to drink or use that day. And
okay.
So that's where it wound up at the end. And I could go see live music, and I found that out. And there were a lot of other people like me that were going to see live music already before I went. And they had invented the wheel. They were a group of sober Grateful Dead fans called Wharf Rats. They were out there since the mid-80s. And so when I went to go see some other incarnations of that band, they were there. And I liked other bands.
Yeah.
And they didn't have
I imagine they stuck out. Sober people at a Grateful Dead concert, right?
Yeah, they did. They made themselves known, too. They were loud about it. And so it's kind of like, okay, there's those people. And then, you know, not going to be one of them is how I thought when I was drinking. But I'm not now. You know, I'm going to these concerts, and I like to see other bands. Widespread Panic was one of them. And we started a group similar to the Wharf Rat group. For that band, and a few guys from Alabama, a guy from Ohio, guy, and myself were instrumental in making that happen with their management's approval. So we continue to do that. But the festival season was picking up in the early 2000s, and Widespread Panic was one of the headliners at the first Bonnaroo, and we were down there seeing that band with about 20 other people from the different states that were also not drinking and not using, and we gathered and we made sure we all left intact without having relapsed. And
so it was down there at Bonnaroo that you basically came up the idea for this nonprofit that today is a big deal. We'll talk about the numbers in a minute.
Yeah, that's right. It was at Bonnaroo. We went back year after year. About the fifth or sixth year, the festival started to take notice. We weren't. Mm-hmm. They saw us sitting in the dirt. Sitting in the grass and huddling up and meeting, and people that were working the operations side came up and asked what we were doing. I told this woman, and she said, call me next Friday. She said, I'm going to get you on a conference call with the people that run the festival. And for a second, I thought we were in trouble. I mean, I really thought there was going to be a legal letter coming with a cease and desist, and don't, you know, do this any longer. You know, you're bringing bad energy to them. So, but that was hardly what they wanted. They wanted to know what it was we were doing and what they could do to help us.
Okay.
I didn't know that. So they asked a few questions, and they said, how many people do you think are coming? And I said, probably anywhere from 100 to 125 people are joining us each year. And he goes, let me get this straight. You're helping me sell 100 to 125 tickets to my festival every year. I said, yeah. I never looked at it like that, but I'm glad you see it like that.
But to make it clear for people that are just hearing about this for the first time, this isn't you're not setting up in a booth and trying to convert people into your way of thinking. I mean, it's not like a Jesus saves booth, right. Stop drinking, stop doing this. You're just helping people.
That's right. Yeah, we're a safe harbor for people that have already converted.
Okay.
And they walk up into the festival like I did in those early days thinking, how do I go see live music and not pick up? And then they wander upon us and wonder, is this... what are you all? Is this what I think it is? And then the questions begin. So, we've seen people that have come to our table at different festivals that said, I met you all last year. I made the decision to stop. And they came back and they have one full year at that festival.
So you've got a great number of success stories, I'm sure.
Well, that makes all the work worthwhile when that happens.
And recently, just jumping ahead, I mean, this thing has grown. You've gone to I think you said 15 festivals last year. There are you get national press. I know Huffington Post, Chicago Tribune, New York Times have all written about you and this movement that started right here in Louisville, right?
Yeah, I mean, the brainstorm here, the business model was begun, and got together with some guys in the industry that said they could help, that they would help us get a nonprofit begun, help us stock a board of directors that would get us into any festival that we wanted to go into, and we've done that. So our aim now is really fundraising so we can afford to take time off work, reimburse volunteers for travel expenses, hotel rooms, a per diem for food. We're volunteer driven, and without the volunteers, we can't do 15, 18, 20 festivals a year.
Sure,
there's only so many weekends a year people can take off work.
And you don't pay the volunteers, but the volunteers have to, I guess they have to buy a ticket, and they have to get in, and they have to give up their time to be at the festival, right?
We give them a ticket. They get tickets from us for free. We get a dozen comp tickets for the weekend by the festival. And that's really that and the real estate to produce what we put together. That safe harbor, we decorate it, put lights up, and there's always people at our area that have a smiling face and answer the questions about what is it you all are doing? Why does that bumper sticker there say, this is your brain on hugs? And this bumper sticker says, you don't need dope to dance. You know, these little stickers gather people's attention and it makes them laugh, but it begins the engagement and the conversation, and that's how we grow. It's really working.
Okay. So you're from Louisville, and but this whole thing started at Bonnaroo. When did you know, the big festival here is Forecastle, and you have a big presence at Forecastle, the one coming up in July. How do you get involved with Forecastle?
Well, the ownership's the same. So the people that own Bonnaroo have begun to take over the ownership at Forecastle, and they bring us along. We get requests for these festivals. We're not out there looking for more and more events to do. More and more festivals are reaching out to us, and then they'll always say something like, why didn't we think of this first? You know, this is a no-brainer. So at Forecastle, we always do business as something unique or in proximity to the name of the festival. So at Bonnaroo, we just call ourselves Soberoo, but at Forecastle, with their nautical theme, we call ourselves Sober Sailing. We work that out in advance. The festival provides the real estate, the tent, and they create a banner overhead for us and light it for us. So we're just part of their nonprofit structure of the area where other people...
And you come up with more locally funny bumper stickers?
Yeah, we do all kinds. If there's a good idea, we're all ears.
I was trying to bait you to tell me a couple more of those because they're funny.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, we've got some. So we got some things. People that are working for us, a lot are in recovery. So we'll have a sticker that says "One Show at a Time" to go along with their theme for their one day at a time. So there's a lot of different stuff that we will come up with, and we'll sit around. But some of them aren't original to us, and we've just borrowed some stuff from the people that came before us that were doing this with other groups. And some are original. So
Very cool. Well, I want to ask you, Patrick. I mean, you're in Louisville. You have a very cool job too. Tell me about that.
Well, full time, I work for a family owned coffee importing and roasting business.
Okay.
I work for Mike Safai and his business, Safai Coffee. They have one retail outlet on Bardstown Road.
I was just there yesterday.
Yeah, they got great coffee.
Very cool.
It's in the old Reisert Insurance building, which I think converted to a Cricket phone shop, and now it's our coffee shop. But that one retail outlet is just sort of a retail outlet. We've got a large wholesale business that employs about 35 or 40 people downtown Louisville.
Okay.
For 4 months, we've been downtown. We were in LaGrange, Kentucky for 10 years. So we just moved from there back to downtown. We're roasting down there, packing down there, running from 4 a.m. until 6 p.m., 5 or 6 days a week right now.
Well, it sounds like a great business, a great spot, but I'm really impressed with it. I'm glad I got to hear about from our mutual friend Kelly McKnight, plug him on here, that this organization of yours is really something. And you say you're in the future you're looking at trying to crash some country parties, right?
Yeah. So we've hit all the pop music festivals, Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, and Forecastle here in Louisville, and then we do these EDMs out in the West Coast, these electric dance music events that are outrageous. They're kind of scary, but they're outrageous. A lot of drug use out there, a lot of young kids, a lot of underage kids. So they've got They need us, and they're mm-hmm. very happy to help us. But we're working with producers of several country music events, one in Las Vegas, one in Detroit, outside Detroit, at these big motor speedways in the summertime. So, yeah, it looks like we're going to put our cowboy hats and cowboy boots on and go listen to country music for 4 or 5 days this summer. So.
Okay, well, if you can stand it, it's good. I think I might have to be drinking. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad.
But there's room for all of us on the line.
There you go. Well, it's very great work you're doing. I'm sure we're going to hear more about it, and certainly look forward to seeing your presence at Forecastle this year.
We'll come see us. I appreciate it.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
And a big thank you to Patrick for coming by. He's involved in his company, Safi Coffee. There's a shop in the Highlands, but there's a bigger story that I'm going to be writing about on Eat, Drink, Talk. Involving that company, and encourage you to stay informed about things going on in Louisville. Check out LouisvilleKY.com, the Pulse of the City, and eDrink Talk, where my partner Steve Coombs and I discuss the latest and greatest in restaurant and dining news. I would tell you right now that Steve just finished a piece about bourbon, and it's sort of a several item piece about different bourbon things, and a report came out that said that bourbon contributes $8.5 billion to the Kentucky economy. Can you believe that? That's a lot of money, including my next guest. There's a connection to bourbon and blue jeans. But it's amazing that number happens, and we still got all these counties, all these places in the state that are dry. It's hard to fathom, why people do this. But politics are hard to fathom these days. I don't want to get too far up on my soapbox here, but our governor, the mini Trump, Governor Matt Bevin, he's like working out of the same playbook. He uses social media to get his points across. He often manufactures facts, or he outright lies about things to get his point across. And he uses language that is, really childish. Today he said that he felt, he was on a radio interview, and he feels that the Jefferson County Public School System is a disaster. That's one of Trump's favorite words, disaster. It's a disaster. Well, it's not a disaster, Governor Bevin. There are challenges because the JCPS has to educate people from all walks of life, and he was just talking about test scores being bad. There are places where test scores aren't going to be that great. We JCPS has an immigrant population. It has all sorts of people that go there that maybe don't do well on standardized tests. But I'm a bit of a defender of JCPS, having had three of my children go through there, and I'm a graduate of Iroquois High School myself. And I just don't think I don't see how it's productive for Bevin to come out and say that JCPS is an unmitigated disaster. He's a little bit different than Trump. I don't think Trump knows any five-syllable words, but unmitigated. I'm just having a hard time with this governor. A lot of his policies. Now, the other thing is that he gets all excited about issues that shouldn't be that important. And of course, I'm talking about abortion. This week, there was a big celebration in Frankfurt that they're so happy they passed two more bills further restricting abortion, making it harder for women who choose abortion to get one. Louisville's the only place in the state where you can get an abortion, but now there's new bills on the books. One bans abortion after 20 weeks, and the other requires an ultrasound, so a doctor has to sit with a woman and show the ultrasound before she can get an abortion. These are both designed simply to make it more difficult for women, and as I've always said, if you're against abortion, don't have one. But there's no reason to tell other people how to live their lives. You don't know when you might be in that situation. You might have to make a difficult decision for you or a member of your family. So anyway, a little bit disgusted with all that, but there's a lot of positive things, and that's what I like to talk about. My good buddy Jackie Green, He is the bicycling advocate. He's been on this show. I really like Jackie, and he is taking his fight to the highest levels he can. He was he got a ticket. If you can imagine this, he was riding his bike down 3rd Street, and a cop pulls him over on his bike and writes him a ticket for running a red light. And there's a great story about this over on WFPL Appeals website, and it, you know, Jackie's got a lot of arguments. If you've ever met him and talked to him, he'll talk your arm off. But he's really passionate about what he believes in terms of transportation, and he doesn't believe that really. I ride my bike too, and I run red lights all the time. It's hard to imagine a cop pulling a cyclist over for that. I did one time get pulled over in J-Town. And I think it was for running a red light. I just got a warning. You know, the battle between, as Louisville tries to become a more bike-friendly city, and old ideas just keeps raging on. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Jackie and his fight against the police. Apparently, the Jefferson County Prosecutor's Office is unwilling to drop this thing, as it should do. And so That's what's going on with Jackie Green. I'll try to keep you informed on that. I always like to sort of keep up with the people who have been on this show before. One other big piece of news I think is worth discussing and worth just scratching your head over. Did you hear that the UofL football player, a current UofL football player, it was discovered, he was suspended this week because it was discovered way back in December that he had been pulled over in the Park Hill neighborhood with a loaded gun in his car. And you know, of course, he was somehow able to keep this arrest that happened, I guess, in earlier mid-December. He was able to keep his coach, Bobby Petrino, from finding out about this because this player, Alfonso Carter, he accompanied the team to the bowl game, and he came back, and there was something going on. And something happened that Petrino or the news media found out about this guy and this arrest that he had for having he didn't have a concealed carry. I mean, I just always question, what does a kid, a 20-year-old kid driving around Louisville have a loaded gun in his car for? I don't understand it. And apparently the it's prevalent everywhere, and they I don't know what motivates these guys. I'm sure Carter is not the only one on the team that has a gun. He's the one that got caught. He was he ran a red light in Park Hill and got pulled over, and that's how that happened. But UofL's had a run of bad luck in the off season. A quarterback, the heir apparent to Lamar Jackson, a guy named Juwan Pass. You know, this is another one you don't understand. He was charged with marijuana possession after a traffic stop on January 22nd. I know, it's just, I guess he's going to not get kicked off the team and life will go on. You know, a lot of UofL players have been caught with marijuana. I know James Quick was one in the past. But then another player was driving over 100 miles an hour on I-65. His name was Travion Samuel. You know, there's a lot of this stuff going on. I don't understand why these kids do this, but, you know, that's the old man in me talking. And, you know, it's like they've got this great opportunity to make something of themselves, and they do something stupid. So, fortunately, I think Mr. Pass and Mr. Samuel will probably continue their football careers. I doubt if we'll see Alfonso Carter in a UofL uniform again. He was he had 1 year of eligibility remaining, and that was going to be it for him. He was backup, defensive back, I think. So, anyway, I do scratch my head about the guns and the prevalence of guns in our society, and how all these politicians are so determined to make sure that no one's Second Amendment rights are violated. I don't know. When you got 20-year-old college students driving around Park Hill with loaded gun in their car, you know, that's why you hear about all these shootings. Things happen, and that's the way it is. So, on a brighter note, let's talk about some brighter former Rusty Satellite guests. Some big news. I think on Thursday night, the show comes out on Thursday tonight. There is a party down there at Cellar Door Chocolates at 4th and Chestnut, I believe, and it's a celebration because Erica Chavez Graziano, who's been on the show with Cellar Door Chocolates, and Janine Barnhart, the artist who I've talked to about her art on this show. They're collaborating, and there's going to be some candy with some art from Janine on it, and they're having a party to celebrate it. It comes right at Valentine's Day, so that is that's a good thing. I'm going to try to drop by there and see what's going on with that. I hope that hope I get a chance to do that. That's fun. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up next week. It's on Tuesday. I'm writing a post right now for Eat Drink Talk about all the specials. You know, it's a big night, a big weekend, really, in for local restaurants. And we like to patronize local independent restaurants, and it seems like every one of them have these great special deals. They're really good deals. They're good prices. I mean, I've done a dozen of them already. I'm not through with the post yet. So you know, Valentine's Day, celebrate with your sweetie. Don't sweat the small stuff. Make a reservation like now. Like, go to Eat Drink Talk now and find the deal that you like best, the restaurant you'd like to go to, and treat your sweetie to a nice night out, because it's Valentine's Day, and that's what you're supposed to do. I think I've talked Paula into cooking for me at home. I hope so. But we'll probably go out. The deal is, you know, you're not restricted to just going out next Tuesday night. You can. Most of these restaurants have the specials that last either, they're either Monday and Tuesday, or sometimes they're like, through the weekend. Anytime over the weekend, you can go out and do the celebrating for Valentine's Day. So be sure and do that. And there's a lot of good deals going on out there for Valentine's Day. Yay! All right. Well, let's start talking about my next guest. It was suggested to me by Aaron Jones and a former guest on the show, Tariq Nally, that I get to know Lisa Call Hillrick, because she is starting a blue jean company called Roxy Nell. And, you know, I looked into it further, and, you know, she's got a slogan of bourbon, baseball, and blue jeans. And so she's got a denim that is actually washed in bourbon. And I asked her about that. And then, you know, she's married to the CEO of Hillrick & Bradsby, John Hillrick. And so they've got a blue jean that has a baseball stitching is on it. So that's a pretty cool tie-in. And it would be great if Louisville, if she's successful and Louisville becomes a sort of place for fashion. Although I am not going to buy a $500 pair of blue jeans just yet. We'll see. fashion. I don't go that far in terms of buying stuff. I think I bought a $100 pair of jeans once, but that's the most. But anyway, I hope her company is successful, and she's got some other big plans with fashion in Louisville. And it's a very interesting interview. I really enjoyed getting to meet Lisa right here in the Louisville.am studios. So take a listen to this, and I'll be back shortly.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. It comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
And welcome back to the Louisville.am studios. I am here with Lisa Call Hillrick. And welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you.
You have a company called Roxy Nell, which is blue jeans, and I understand I can get bourbon with my blue jeans, right?
Bourbon, that's right. That's right. Yes, Roxy Nell was my grandmother, and that's where the name of the company came from, and it's blue jeans, bourbon, and baseball. And,
okay.
And have some family in the bourbon industry, and I have three lines of denim, okay. Bourbon blue. It's a classic cut, and I actually do have a small batch of that denim that I dye in
that
bourbon.
Denim is actually dyed in the bourbon.
Yes.
But you're not going to smell like bourbon if you wear these, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
There's a special wash that makes sure that, that it doesn't smell like bourbon.
Okay, well, I want to, you know, complete that circle. You said you have family connections in bourbon. I know you have family connections in baseball. Your last name's Hillrick, right?
Right.
So how do you incorporate that into your company? Your husband is the president.
With the company. Yes, yeah. That's right. It's his family's company. And what I've done is I've designed a line called League. And it's a dark sport jean, and it has a baseball, red baseball stitch.
Well, there you go.
Sewn on the hip.
That's what I want on my jeans. So so anyway, this is all new and exciting. A lot of people have told me about what you're doing and getting a new company, a new fashion company launched is a real challenge. Where'd you come from? This isn't like what you've been doing all your life.
No, it isn't. It's kind of the opposite. I have been in tech sales for over 25 years, and I'm going to be 50 and wanted to do something that was real to me and personal. And I had some custom jeans made a few years ago, and I thought, wouldn't that be cool to start a custom jean company?
Start your own company. Mm-hmm. So there's not many, but as you've been developing this idea, I guess for almost a year now, there's some out there on the market. I mean, if you want to get a pair of Roxy Nell jeans, you can do that now, right?
Yes. We've been developing samples and prototypes over the last few months, but if you go to roxynell.com, you can send me an email and we can set up a personal appointment, and we do measure you.
Okay.
So that your jeans fit you perfectly to your measurements.
Okay. Well, I want some of those. What would it cost to do that?
They start at $299.
Okay.
And then depending on the bourbon and how much time we've spent, those can go for over $500.
$500 pair of jeans. Okay.
That's right.
Out of my league, but I'm sure there's a good market for that. But when you choose to get into an industry like making blue jeans, it seems like it would be intimidating, because it'd be like starting a soft drink, and you know that Coke and Pepsi and all those people are out there. A lot of long-time established jeans company. Are you going in to try to compete with them, or how are you going to market?
What I'm trying to do is be very authentic and personal with my jeans, and I source all of the denim out of the United States, in North Carolina and Georgia, and I manufacture them right here in Louisville. And one of the reasons why I really found out about the blue jeans and tying it to bourbon and baseball is there's a huge jean manufacturing history in Louisville back in the 1800s. Wow. And we made more blue jeans in Louisville than any other place in the world.
Really? Right here in Louisville, KY?
Right here in Louisville, Kentucky.
You know about Levi's and Wrangler and all that. Was was it a specific brand, or?
They were called Kentucky Jeans.
Hmm.
And it's when jeans were first started to be, when they first were worn, and they were worn in factories. And they were very durable, and they lasted a long time. And then in the 40s, a lot of women went into the factories because their husbands were at war, and they pulled their husband's jeans on and put a belt around them and went into the factories. And that's where it kind of started to come into more of a fashion.
Wow. Piece. And so that history in Louisville, I didn't know about that. The jeans have that. But you are getting very close to what you told me is a launch of your product. And tell me what all that entails and when it's going to happen.
Sure. Right now, what we're going to do is we're developing a website, and we will do what we call a pre-sale for 30 days, and you will be able to order a pair of jeans online, and we will show you how to measure yourself, and we will show the different designs and fabrics, and you can place an order for your jeans, and then we will get them made and send them out to you.
Wow. So it's a real custom deal, except you got to measure it yourself, which I don't know if I'd do very well at that, but maybe you can get an assistant or you get somebody to help you measure yourself, right?
Yes, partner or someone close, right?
Someone that can, put a tape measure around your waist and all that. So, that is a very exciting project. Now, I know in the last year you had mentioned to me some information about fashion in Louisville and how you're sort of working. I know you mentioned a project with Gil Holland that you were working to bring some more fashion into the city.
That's right. There's a woman by the name of Yamilka Rodriguez, and she was a product designer for Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati.
Okay.
She moved to Louisville, and she decided that she wanted to get into the fashion industry, and she had done some designs herself, and what is a challenge in Louisville is that if you are a designer, there's really not a place to go and cut your patterns and mm-hmm. have your materials and that sort of thing. Most of the designers in Louisville just work out of their houses, and it's hard to scale then.
Right.
And we have a lot of really good designers in Louisville, but we don't know about it because they're taking their
they're working on the kitchen table.
Yes, exactly.
So what would this would be a place that people could go and, I guess, rent space or what?
Yes, it would be called a fashion maker space. And so it would be a place that you could rent some time and some storage, so you could store your materials mm-hmm. and you could come in and cut patterns. And we want to buy some machines. So maybe you have a sewing machine, but you don't have a dye machine or a button machine. But
okay.
if we can bring all those resources together and have real collaboration with designers in Louisville, it very well could become an industry for the up-and-coming Louisville.
Wow. I mean, I don't know where those plans are. Are there like a location picked out or anything like that? Or
not at this point. Right now what we're doing is we're trying to create awareness. And uh-huh. so we had a fashion show at a warehouse in Portland back in October. And we have a fashion show coming up at the Speed Art Museum March 24th. And
okay.
so we'll have a lot of designers on the runway from Louisville. And it's unbelievable, the talent in this town. And you'll get to meet the designers and see the fashion. And so right now we're trying to create the awareness and get some funding and to get it started.
So the designers, you're talking about clothing designers, right?
Yes.
Not just jeans, right?
But absolutely.
All sorts of
mm-hmm. evening gowns to a whole line of ready-to-wear hats. Wooden bow ties. I mean, just mm-hmm. all kinds of really creative stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you know, Louisville. Because I don't think Louisville, you know, really has a reputation, maybe for the hats, but not much for a reputation that I'm aware of for designers. So you got your work cut out for you to get that awareness going.
Yes, definitely, we do.
We're glad to have you on the Rusty Satellite Show to sort of advance that notion and that cause. You have a launch coming up in April. I mean, you know, this time next year, what would define success for you? I mean, do you have a number you're looking for, or how would it look to you?
Really what I'm looking for is to have a good positive revenue that would allow me to possibly go to a brick and mortar space in Louisville. I think the concept of bringing the blue jean history out with bourbon and baseball could lend to a place where visitors would like to be able to see the history and participate in buying jeans and mm-hmm. Possibly sipping some bourbon and seeing some baseball memorabilia. And
that's the thing in Kentucky. Whatever your product is, put it with bourbon.
That's right.
And you've got a success going there.
That's right.
That's very interesting. Well, it'd be great to see a store. I mean, admittedly, you know, my idea of a lot for jeans. I remember I once paid, I think, almost $100 for a pair of jeans, and mm-hmm. that about killed me. So, but I'm fascinated because I have heard all these stories about the market for blue jeans and that the high end is really up there. Right.
It is, and where I feel like I'm different and where I think people have a lot of challenges with blue jeans mm-hmm. is that they don't fit everywhere, but they're such an important piece of your wardrobe. You wear them all the time. And so a lot of people will buy a lesser expensive jean and then take it to a tailor and have them shortened and tucked and nipped and all that.
Okay.
So this is you don't have to have them tailored. They already fit when they come to you.
Yeah, they'd be custom fit. That mm-hmm. would be good. Now, do you, I see you're wearing some of the jeans right now.
Yes.
is that like an everyday thing for you? Or?
It is. I try to wear them most every day, and they fit great. They feel good. and so being able to feel that myself in my own product and develop it and help
sure.
develop it and what is comfortable in a blue jean. Definitely. I wear them to make sure that they're a quality product.
Well, very good. Well, it's a very interesting story. Best of wishes on your entrepreneurial path. I'll hope to hear a lot more about fashion in Louisville.
Absolutely.
Thanks to you.
And Louisville Bespoke. Yes, definitely.
There you go. All right, and a big thank you to Lisa and to Patrick Whalen for being on the show this week. They do not get lovely parting gifts, but join a roster of more than 300 people who have been guests on the Rusty Satellite Show. Glad to have them in part of the club. It's all great. Hey, I just wanted to impart this this little as we're looking at Valentine's Day. Those of you, you know, maybe some of you are out in the dating world and all that. I when I'm doing my Lyft driving on weekends, sometimes I hear some new terms. I hear a lot of interesting stuff on the road. Last weekend, I heard a term I didn't know before. It's called breadcrumbing. You know what breadcrumbing is? Well, it's an attempt to basically lead someone on and by continuing conversations with them or texting them or something like that, but then not following through and not being sincere about the relationship. So it's a bad thing to do. Don't do any breadcrumbing out there. It's my term of the week, breadcrumbing. Okay, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks to my guest and to my sponsors, the Eye Care Institute at on Story Avenue, 502-589-1500 is the number. You can call and make an appointment with one of their friendly staff. And also to my good friends at Passport Health Plans. You can read my pieces on Insider Louisville about health topics on a regular basis over there. So thanks to them very much, and all the people that helped me put the show together. You got an idea for a podcast? Give me a call. I can make it happen for you if you think this is something you'd like to do. Get your voice out there. I'm working with some people right now on some podcast ideas, and always looking for new ideas that will be interesting enough and duplicate the success of the Rusty Satellite Show. We have hundreds of listeners every week, and very glad to hear from any of you. If you've got anything to say about the show or you want to suggest a guest, please give me a call. All right, that'll do it. This is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.